Hey, cuz. Heard you're having money problems.
No, you didn't.
Listen, I got the answer. You declare bankruptcy, all your problems go away.
How would that help, Creed? In Monopoly, you go bankrupt, you lose.
You don't go by Monopoly, man. That game is nuts. Nobody just picks up get-out-of-jail-free cards. Those things cost thousands.
That is a good point.
Bankruptcy, Michael, is nature's do-over. It's a fresh start. It's a clean slate.
Like the witness protection program.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Just when you think the Giants have hit rock bottom, they managed to punch out the floor from underneath them before we get into an absolute ass-kicking by the Eagles and Giants former employees, current employees getting into it on the timeline. Let's take care of our own housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Final piece of housekeeping. Weiss, I think you had something you wanted to say, but before you say that,
yes,
I want to thank the listeners. I really do. You guys are great. We appreciate you tuning in every week. It's not easy, especially with the team being as bad as they are. I even had someone reply to our question tweet basically saying that they can't listen anymore and they've given up, but because they still want to support the podcast, they just subscribe and unsubscribe and resubscribe every week.
That's
which
awesome.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. But yeah, thank you to everyone who has notifications on and who listens to the podcast every week, whether it's painful, whether it's therapeutic. You know, everyone's a little bit different, but we thank you. And that's it. All right, Weiss.
I just wanted to clarify something because yesterday our good friend Will was got into a little bit of a Twitter spat with somebody, and I was tagged in that whole thread, and you know, I just wanted to clarify something because there was a tweet sent out making, you know, I don't know if it was accusing Will or accusing, I don't think it was accusing me, but the assumption was made based on the people that saw the tweet that it was directed at us because we have a podcast. We have never begged anybody to come on our podcast, nor have we ever used somebody else's platform to grow ours. We've had multiple guests on. I typically do the scheduling with guests. I reach out to people that we want to bring on our show. Then I hand it over to Ethan, who handles a lot of the scheduling. We've never begged anybody to come on our podcast like that. So just wanted to put that out there so that there's no confusion. I know there was some people that sort of tweeted at me and sort of mixed me into that, but I just wanted to get out in front of it to avoid any miscommunication.
Ethan, anyway,
how are you?
I'm okay. I don't really know how else to answer that. The Giants are the worst team in the NFL, right?
I think so, yeah. I think their current state with no starting quarterback, I think it's bad. But you know what the alarming thing for me is out of all of it is that, you know, they rushed to sign Mike Glennon. Like they rushed to sign Mike Glennon. Like they made it an emphasis to find a quality backup quarterback this offseason. And Mike Glennon is a lot of things, but quality backup is not.
I mean, Colt McCoy is actually making less technically than Mike Glennon this season.
Yeah.
And he won games both for the Giants last season in Seattle and for the Cardinals this year when Kyler Murray was out.
Right. And I don't want to say it because obviously Jake Fromm started the game, but my expectations were not really high for Jake Fromm. I didn't expect
him to. No, and I didn't understand why people had any expectations at all, because one drive where the defense is in prevent at the end of the game and doesn't give a shit, and Jake Fromm is like, people are like, oh, I love his commands. Like, bro.
He was a great college quarterback. That's why people love him.
Or was he?
That's the intrigue.
He had a good freshman year.
Well, I think
that's about it.
That's the thing. He had a good year at Georgia.
Guy couldn't beat out Davis Webb in Buffalo. Like, that's who we're talking about.
Right. Obviously, Jake Fromm is who he is. He's a fifth-round pick. He was on the practice squad. I don't really care if they played him or not. This season is over. It can't end soon enough. It seems like every single day it just gets worse and worse. And, I mean, look, the Eagles, I just want to point this out to people. The Eagles entered 2021 with 2022 on their mind. This was not a year that they had any plans of being a competitive team or being a team that, you know, thought about the playoffs. Ethan, did you know that the Eagles are carrying the most dead cap, not just in the NFL this year, but in NFL history?
No, I had no idea, actually.
They have $62 million in dead cap space.
That's actually incredible. I didn't know that.
$62 million. Their whole goal this year was, we're going to do what we can to evaluate Jalen Hurts, see what we have there. And we're going to focus.
We have three first-round picks. We don't like Jalen Hurts.
Right. And we're going to focus on 2022 because 2021, let's face it, it's a wash. We got $62 million in dead cap space. We're still recovering from some of the contracts we gave out, particularly the Carson Wentz situation. We're not focused on this. But you know what? They're competitive. And they're competitive with the rookie head coach, who, oh, by the way, I'm not high on Nick Sirianni, but he was mocked egregiously.
Relentlessly.
Yeah, throughout his, you know, the press conference and everything. But guess what? They're 8-7. Have they played a lot of bad teams? Sure, but they've beaten them. And they're on the verge of making the playoffs. So that's that. The Giants entered this year pushing all their eggs to the, you know, all their
chips to the middle of the table, all their eggs in one basket.
Two idioms
at the same time.
You got it. Yeah. You got my gist.
Yes.
And this is where they are. And I understand the quarterback is hurt. But they were
bad before the quarterback was hurt.
Exactly. And so now you're left wondering, like, what is it going to take? Like, what else do we, like, how much worse does it need to get? And I spent, you know, over the weekend, prior to Sunday, me and you were talking a lot. You know, there's been a lot of stuff said about, you know, who the next GM is. And based on all the conversations that I've had with people that cover the sport, and I've you know, shared this with you, and you've shared some stuff with me, I think these are
without naming names, like
these are people that cover the sport for a long time, that covered on a national level.
Big names.
Yeah, these are people. You guys can figure it out. We are going on the assumption that Kevin Abrams is going to be promoted to general manager, and we're going to believe that until it doesn't happen.
Yes.
So you guys can ask us about GM candidates, and we'll discuss. I mean, I'm sure we'll play the hypothetical game, but that's our belief system going forward.
And it's probably the most mentally healthy belief system.
Yes.
It's like Lance Armstrong in the movie Dodgeball. You know,
exactly.
if you don't try, that was Vince Vaughn talking to Lance Armstrong in the airport, right? Yeah. In Dodgeball, if you don't try, you can't get hurt or something like that.
Right. And then I think everybody, have you seen the new Spider-Man movie?
I haven't, no. I'm not a big superhero guy.
Oh, really? I'm not a big superhero guy either, but that was a good movie. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there was a quote from MJ that I think perfectly relates to the Giants. Where something along the lines of, if you expect disappointment, you will never be disappointed. So I think that's what the Giants, that's what you got to do. And a lot of people are asking me, well, how can Mara do that? I think John Mara, winning is not the number one priority with him. I think what the number one priority with him is, if I'm going to win, I'm going to win my way. And unfortunately, his way is not equating to the organization being successful. And if he doesn't see it now, after everything that's happened, on the field and off the field, I don't know when he's going to see it. I don't. I think there's always going to be somebody in-house that can get promoted. And I think that's what is going to end up happening here. I think they'll interview people. I think we'll hear stuff about how they like this person and that person. But at the end of the day, all signs point to an in-house.
Well, they're going to interview people.
Sure.
And I haven't gotten – I feel like I've asked numerous people. I haven't really gotten an answer. I think I know the answer. It's basically if Gettleman is quote-unquote retiring for medical and personal reasons like we believe is going to happen, does the Rooney Rule still come into play? Because if so, then they have to interview an outside candidate. I believe the Rooney Rule does still apply. So I'm sure Lewis Riddick will get an interview. Yeah. I don't know, you know, who else would get an interview, but there will be an interview process. So when you see this getting reported that they're interviewing this person and that person, still, don't get your hopes up. Wait until it's official. Because,
yes.
I mean, we just – it's delusion of the highest order from inside the organization, and it's really, really bad.
There is when you are this bad, you know, like they've been over the course of the last 4 years, 5 years, decade, whatever, however, whatever measuring stick you want to use, you typically don't promote from within. You typically want to go outside the organization, but because I just feel like John Mara doesn't, he understands that what's wrong. I just think, like I said, he doesn't want it to be different. I think he wants to fix it his way. And if it doesn't get fixed, it doesn't get fixed. I truthfully don't, like, I don't know what else needs to happen. I mean, you have their PR guy.
Okay, here we go.
We'll segue into this. You have your PR guy basically going at a former employee. Now, regardless how you feel about the employee,
let's set the stage, because I think a majority of people know what we're talking about. But if you're not active on Twitter, you just listen to the podcast, I don't know, whatever it is. What's the name of this guy? Steve V something? Verdusa?
They call him Steve. They call him Vardy, but his name is Stephen E.
Verdurosa.
Yes.
Stephen E.
Yeah, he currently works for...
At Stephen V. Underscore PFN.
Right, he works for Pro Football Network. I believe that's what they're called. He has been... I mean, you want to talk about... He's just been putting everything out there. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's been written. There was... Obviously, everyone knows about the Ty Dunn piece. There was a lot of stuff in there that talked, you know, highlighted some of the dysfunction in the organization. Zach Rosenblatt, which I think was a very, very damning piece because it went directly at the owner, talked about John Mara and his meddling with personnel. And, you know, after that, I spoke with, I reached out to some people that cover the sport nationally and who, you know, they're very, I have a good relationship with them. I talk to them sometimes. I'm not saying I'm friends with them, but like we have a good Twitter relationship, if you want to call it that. And they just told me it's so much worse than what we see or what we've heard so far. I mean, there's the main issue is, and this is something that's been talked about a lot, is there's so many philosophical differences. Like there's nobody, like you have front office personnel thinking one way. You got coaching staff coaches thinking another way. You got scouts thinking another way. You got owners who look at things from a, you know, business perspective and how can I win games because I don't want, you know, it's just there's so many different, you know, people on different paths and people with different philosophical alignments and, you know, coaches wanting to go in a different direction. And it's just a big clusterfuck, if I can put it politely or not politely, but. And the perfect way to sum it up is, listen, they're 19 and 44 under Dave Gettleman in 4 years. You don't be that bad because everything is a well-oiled machine and we make all decisions, you know, all decisions are made collectively. No, there is a huge, huge, huge issue in that front office. And I think Steven Verdoza and all these other people that are coming out, I think they're highlighting that. And I think that's, and I think a lot of what they're saying, maybe not everything, but a lot of what they're saying, there's a lot of truth to it. And that's why Pat Hanlon mistakenly came out and verbally went at it publicly with the former employee.
And the tweet's still up, just like no shame. Yeah, like, if, bro, if I ran a fucking multi-billion dollar organization and my head of PR was trashing former employees, I would fire him immediately. Or at least have him delete the tweets. But
the sad thing is, I think they sent him to do it.
Yeah, yeah, probably. But the you know, when the Ty Dunn piece came out, actually, I was speaking to Joe, license plate guy, about it for a little bit. And you know, one of the things we both agreed on was, and this is what I said. He was like, "Oh, you know, like there's some truth. There's some, you know, some things that are probably exaggerated. Whatever. There's three sides to every story: his side, her side, and the truth." Do I think that everything that's being put out there is 100% true? No. I think a hefty majority of what's being put out there is true. I think that if things were running swimmingly and the organization was having success, we wouldn't be hearing about any of this because I don't think a lot of it would be going on. Right. And I especially believe that because the Giants have done a very poor job of scouting, drafting and developing players over the last 10 years, okay? And when you're a scout, your job is to go out there, scout these players. You give your input on these players, but ultimately these decisions at the end of the day are not in your hands. It's in the hands of in the Giants organization, John Mara, Dave Gettleman, Chris Pettit, O'Brien, McDonald. Yeah, so
The nephew,
Tim McDonald. Yeah. Yeah, so where I think a lot of this frustration is, and listen, we saw it this past offseason with the San Francisco 49ers where they drafted Trey Lance. Every single scout in the organization gave their opinion on what the 49ers should do with the third overall pick, and up until that pick was made, they had no clue what direction the team was going, right? I don't think it's totally out of the ordinary for the scouts to do their job and for the organization to sort of keep it close to the chest before making any sort of decision. However, when the ultimate decisions have been as bad as they have been over the last 10 years, I think these scouts and these former employees have every right to be frustrated that they probably gave a differing opinion, the organization went a different way, and they turned out to be right. And it didn't have to be like that, and because of this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, where you know, it's all family and there's no merit involved. I'm just so upset I can't even think of the word. Whatever. It's not a meritocracy. So I totally understand these frustrations, and I think the third scout that came into this fight against Verdorosa and Hanlon, who, by the way, doesn't have his name in his profile, but has, like, some very prominent NFL people that are following him.
Right.
Like, friend of the program, Evan Silva. Right. Like, follows him. Like, a lot of, like, Albert Breer follows him. So, like, I assume that he is, like, a legit former scout. Then comes out and basically says, well, you guys are both right. Because, Pat, the organization's a fucking clown show and you shouldn't be doing this, but also Steve is one of the biggest jokes of a scout that I've ever worked with, and people laugh about it, and they laugh about Gettleman, and, you know, all this stuff is coming out. So I don't really know what else to say about it, but that there's probably a lot of truth to it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be this many angry people.
Specifically, angry people that work for the Giants that come out publicly.
Yeah. And
Pat Hanlon didn't come out. He didn't go rogue. This was sent down from, and here's the thing that pisses me off, right? And I hate that this doesn't get talked about enough. This owner doesn't talk at all during the season. He'll give small tidbits here and there, but he never discusses anything. This general manager never comes out and discusses anything. Do you remember, Ethan, do you remember when we go back to the Jerry Reese era? One of the things that people hated about him was he wasn't as open with the media as he should be. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that people always talked about that? Like, there was a lot of issues with him, but that was one thing. Like, we need a general manager that's open with the media. Jerry Reese talked in the middle of the season. He talked during the bye week. And he talked when everything was going great in 2016 and everything was going bad in 2017. Like, he talked every year. This dude doesn't come out and talk. Like, when was the last time Dave Gettleman gave a public statement on anything? They come out and they pump their chest during training camp when everything is going great and we think differently of our roster than what the public thinks. And they think that they're the smartest people in the world and they got everything figured out. But as soon as the season starts and as soon as they drop their first two games, which they've done every year under Dave Gettleman, you don't hear from them. I don't talk during the season. Right? And you put Joe Judge out there. I'm not advocating for Joe Judge to keep his job, but I feel really, really bad for him. I feel really, really bad for him because from everything that we
they heard did this about with this Shurmur front too, office, by the way.
Yeah. I feel bad for Pat Shurmur too. It's a lose situation for a head coach. I don't care how much say he has. It's tough to win here when the front office is such a fucking mess. Like, think about it. Just think about it. You got scouts going in one direction. You got front office personnel going in a different direction. And then you got the coaching staff, which has this philosophy, and whether you want to agree with her or not, who are trying to build their roster the certain way. They can't do it because it's just like there's so many things going on. And then you wonder, well, how come these guys are not playing up to? Well, maybe they don't fit what the coaches are trying to do. Like, maybe they just don't align with that.
Like Matt Pert being the perfect example. Like, what a waste of a third-round pick.
Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe the way that they've gone out and paid money to Kenny Golladay and drafted Kadarius Toney in the first round, maybe it doesn't align with what Joe Judge wants to do. And I'm not saying I'm not saying Joe Judge is the right way. I'm just saying when you hire a coach and then he's not as involved, or he's not as involved as he should be, or you only give him a certain amount of the pie and you got to make it work. Like, it doesn't work. You have to have philosophical alliances. And it's so obvious that they don't have that. It's not just that they've been bad because they're a bad football team. They don't align philosophically. They don't align in terms of the timeline and whose job is this and whose job. Like, it's such a mess. And this is why I keep saying they need an independent general manager to come in here. And every day that goes by, I continue to believe it needs to be somebody with prior GM experience. And I know you're going to look at me sideways, but somebody like a John Dorsey, just throwing that name out there, who has a track record, GM in Kansas City, GM in Cleveland. You can talk about his picks, but he's had some really good draft classes. He has an eye for talent. If he comes in here and he builds a front office that consists of people that have been successful somewhere else, I think that's what this team needs. Now, it's not my first choice, not my second choice, but just because of this huge mess that we see, like, you almost have to bring in somebody that has been there, done that, that has cleaned up certain things, because I mean, what we have here, I mean, it's just a huge, huge mess. It's difficult to comprehend how bad this situation has become. And I think it's only going to get worse. I think the leaks are just getting started. I think if they promote from within, which I think they're going to do, I think it's going to be a huge PR nightmare for the Giants. And specifically for John Mara. So, listen, there's 2 weeks left in the season. I really think a smart owner would get out ahead of this and just begin to clean house now. But it just seems like this owner does two good things. Number one, he does a good job of ruining the game of football with these rules that he's trying to implement. And number two, he does a good job hiding. He does a great job hiding. He's almost like a ghost during the season. You can't see him. He's there, but you can't see him.
The only time you see him is when he's knocking over trash cans.
Yeah. Or you don't even see him. You just see the trash can that he knocked over.
Yeah, that's the best part.
He's like a ghost. I'm telling you. Like, usually, like, when you're watching games, right, they'll show the GM or they'll show the owner. When was the last time the Giants had the owner, you know, on camera? Like, or the GM. Like, I've never seen that. Like, I saw it once or twice last season, but I never see it now. Like, he's, you don't see Gettleman, you don't see the front office, you don't see the owner. I heard he didn't even travel to Los Angeles for the Charger game.
Yeah.
So, look, that's my take on it. They really need to burn that building down.
Yeah. Badly.
If they retain Joe Judge, right, and obviously he's going to need a new offensive coaching staff, have you thought about any potential offensive coordinators you would like to see?
No, I haven't. The only one that I've thought about is Pep Hamilton.
I think Pep Hamilton deserves to be head coach. That's why I asked you this question.
I know, yeah.
I think Pep is, like I said, track record. I mean, he's worked with a lot of good quarterbacks throughout his career. Pep Hamilton is a quality candidate. It's just, I don't know if you can get a quality offensive coordinator in here if you have a head coach on the hot seat.
No, you can't.
Tough to envision something like that happening.
No.
But
it's that's what's like so tough about it. Like, there are, like, if you're a coach, and I think that this is more prominent if you're a general manager than if you're, you know, a coach. Like, there is a coaching carousel to an extent.
Right.
You know, like Pat Shurmur got a second chance. And even though he failed his second time around, be it his fault or not his fault, he's still an offensive coordinator in the league, right? Like, these are still prominent positions. I don't think that if you are GM, you take the Giants job without a laundry list of assurances. Because if you fuck up or are not allowed to operate in the way that you want to operate and see fit, I don't know if you're going to get hired again.
Well, the thing is that if you're a quality GM candidate, if you're a GM candidate, period.
Right, you're not going anywhere for a while.
Why would you want to be interested with the Giants job if the two most important things are already decided for you?
Exactly.
Like, why would you want to come here? Like, you might as well just wait it out and see if another team comes calling. But I think, like, here's the thing that makes me angry the most about this whole thing is the Giants' job is a desirable job.
It should be.
I'm saying it should be, right?
Yes.
Because despite being as incompetent as he is, one of the good and bad qualities about the Giants' ownership is, man, they're patient. They'll be patient with people. They'll put up with a lot before they pull the plug. And when you have patient ownership, which is stable, like John Mayer is not getting rid of the team anytime soon. Like, this is going to be the owner for a long time.
Yes.
Right. That's a big thing for a general manager. You have two first-round picks. You're going to be, you know, that's a big thing. And then, obviously, with the salary cap, you have there's ways to get out of it and there's ways to free up things. But this is a desirable place. Like, if you're asking me, would I rather want to be in Jacksonville, or would I rather be in the Giants? I'm going to say the Giants, as long as, you know, I can do what I have to do. But unfortunately, because this owner is tying himself at the hip to a head coach and to a quarterback, that they don't deserve that, you make this less desirable. Look, I'm fine with giving Joe Judge a third year, but I think that decision shouldn't be made by ownership. I think it should be made by the GM.
We've had that conversation before. I can't trust it. I can't.
But here's the thing.
If a new GM, but just to clarify for those listening, because you know what I'm saying, but if a new GM comes in here and says, yes, I like Joe Judge, or I want to give Joe Judge another shot, I don't believe you. Because based on what you've seen, you cannot come in here and say, I like what I've seen so far. That has to have come from ownership.
But like, let's say he takes the big picture approach where he looks at it and says, I'm not going to make decisions in a vacuum. I'm going to take a year, see what, you know, sort of overview the entire operation, and then make a decision. Like
that's fine, but we can't make that determination right away, because this guy's not going to come out and go to a press conference and be like, oh, we're going to evaluate everything. If he's asked about the confidence he has in the head coach of the job he just took, he's going to say, I have full confidence in Joe Judge. You know, Joe and I have spoken. We're on the same page and looking forward to working with him. Like, that's what he's going to say. We're not going to know for a full year.
We're not. But, I mean, you're right. It's you don't know what the thing is, I think. But, look, man, from a GM perspective, I don't think that you can tie yourself to the hip like that and say, listen, this is the coach, this is the quarterback, move forward. I think John Mara can say, hey, look, I really like this coach. I want to give him at least another year. And the GM might say, look, the owner wants it for another year. I'll let it ride out for another year, right? Like, I can see something like that. We've seen that in the past. But there has to be a sort of chain of command. It can't be, you know, 15 different chains and everyone goes up to the owner. And, oh, by the way, the owner's incompetent. Like, that it can't be that way. There has to be a chain of command. And I think it's tough, like, when you see the report of Judge and the quarterback coming back, it's tough to envision an outside hire coming in here. It's just all signs keep pointing to an in-house promotion.
Yeah. And
I would have so much more respect for John Mayer if he just said, I'm the GM.
Yes, so you've said that.
Yeah. I'm the GM.
And one of the people you've spoken to had that thought too, right?
Yeah.
It's like people around the league would respect him more if he just came out and said, no, I'm the one that's making these awful decisions.
Yeah. I'm the GM. You see that guy right there, Chris Mara? That's the head of personnel. You see Chris Pettit? He's in charge of scouting department. You see Kevin Abrams? He's going to be handling contracts, and that's our head coach, Joe Judge. I'm the GM. On we go. That's it.
Yeah.
Just do it, and we can move forward.
Exactly.
But when you hide and when you – it's just – it's a mess. It's a mess. You want to get into questions?
Sure.
All right. Got a lot of questions, man.
I know.
A lot of mad people.
You have you have it pulled up?
Yeah,
okay,
I do.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's start with IMGSL57. In hindsight, Micah Parsons or the Bears trade? I'm the former, and with Coach Chaos, how do they miss that? So because he's talking about the coach that coached Parsons at Penn State, how do they miss Parsons? I'm interested to see where you are on this.
I'm still team trade back.
Me too.
I don't know if you can judge Tony this year because, I mean, look at Galladay. Look at pretty much literally everybody on the offense. It's incompetently run. It's awful.
Injuries, COVID.
Yeah, the injury. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's concerning, but, you know, I can't judge it yet. Two.
Yeah.
We don't know what the Giants are going to be doing with the Bears pick yet. You know, we went through a number of scenarios involving using it in the Russell Wilson trade. Maybe a team wants a quarterback and they trade back and they get even another first because they have that second first. Maybe they double up on the offensive line and all of a sudden they have three starters for the next 10 years on the offensive line. You just don't know yet. Obviously, missing out on Parsons is disappointing. But they also missed out on Slater, which is disappointing because he's playing at an all-pro Pro Bowl level as a rookie. So it's too early to judge. I'm still on team trade back until they blow it in the 2022 draft. But until then, we got to just wait and see.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you have to wait and see what that Bears trade becomes before you sort of play that game or ask that question. Another draft question from Evan Reed. This is a lot of people ask this. What are your thoughts on taking two offensive linemen with the first two picks?
I'm fine with it.
I don't see how you can't be fine with it.
I mean, the real question that people want to know is, are you comfortable taking a tackle and then Linderbaum if Linderbaum is there? Because a lot of people are not a fan of taking a center with a top 10 pick. But again, what if you trade back? What if someone wants Kenny Pickett?
Yeah,
there you go. You're moving back.
I refuse to believe a quarterback won't go in the top seven picks.
Yeah, me too.
It just doesn't. With today's NFL and the rookie contract, like I have a hard time seeing that. Long time to go before the draft.
Who are your two favorite quarterbacks in this draft?
I haven't watched the quarterbacks like that. I do like. I watched a little bit of the Cincy quarterback Desmond Ridder.
Yep.
I think he's. a lot of people like Corral and Malik Wills and Kenny Pickett. I like Desmond Ridder a little bit. I'm just not high on any of these guys. They don't.
Yeah, I'm not a Ridder guy.
Yeah, it's tough. But I'll probably dive into it a little bit. I've been watching a lot of the old linemen. This is a really strong lineman class. Yeah. It's really, really strong, especially at tackle, man. I think there's 4 or 5 tackles that could go in the top 15.
There you go.
Would not be surprised. I like this. From NJChamp722_, what's the most egregious thing the Giants could do that will make you give up your fandom?
You know, a lot of people are all talk.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not watching this team. I'm not renewing my tickets. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Like, is really, be honest with yourself, is there anything that they could do where you would...
Well, I've never been this disinterested with the team.
I mean, me neither. And I saw your I think you put out that tweet where the Giants were relegated to the laptop with Red Zone on the main screen.
They're going to be on the phone.
Yeah.
I got a second phone. They're going to be on the second phone this weekend.
Maybe, God, I don't know. They bring back they make it Abrams, but that's our assumption. I don't know. I don't think there's anything that they could do.
Listen, they can't hurt me more than they already
right.
have.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I have apathy toward them.
Yes.
Like I just don't care for them.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm gonna root for them, but I'm
gonna root. I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna follow. Yeah. I'm gonna record. But like, am I really gonna get that upset?
No.
Well,
what can you do? I mean, I already haven't gone to a game in since 2016. I refuse to go watch this team. Like I'm not. I don't spend money on. Like I used to buy a lot of jerseys. I used to buy a lot of the hoodies and the hats and all that. Not anymore.
Yeah.
I've donated a lot of it. So I don't spend money. I don't spend money on the Giants like that. But yeah, I don't think there's anything that would make me give up my fandom. Dave Gettleman is the worst thing that they could have done.
And they did it.
And they did it. So after that, I mean, I don't know. Jeff Lancet. Oh, he's a blue check mark, too.
There we go.
Would you be willing to package the 2 first rounders for a trade up to a top 2 pick to get an edge? So I assume he's saying take the 2 firsts, move them up to get
the first overall or the second overall.
Yeah, get Kayvon Thibodeau or
Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Probably not.
No, thanks.
No. Giants are at rock bottom. This is from Ian_10_19. Giants are at rock bottom now and are about to pull out a jackhammer. How much worse will things realistically get? I think it has a chance to get really bad. I think I love the fact that they're everything is spilling out and we're seeing leaks. I think it's great because I think it might force the owner's hand. But I think it can get worse. I think they could lose and can continue. Horrible decision-making can continue. Firing and coaches can continue. It can definitely continue. How much worse can it get? I mean, that depends on how long the losing stretches out.
I mean, I hope the Bears just take them behind the woodshed.
Yeah.
You lose to a lame duck head coach. I mean, is Fields starting or is it Dalton?
Like I said, I really don't pay attention to... Charlie Batts. Watson. Deshaun Watson. No, I don't see that. That's a good question. Patterson Toast. If I put the over-under on the next Giants year, then the next year the Giants win a playoff game at 2027, which side are you taking?
Wow. Huh. I'll take the under, I think.
Wish I could answer this in like a month.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
What, 2027? It's
another
five more years. I mean, even the Eagles might sneak in to the playoffs.
But he said they're going to win a playoff game.
All you got to do is get in. I don't know, man. With this extra wild card spot, it's like, I don't know. Ben McAdoo won.
They'll definitely.
Ben McAdoo got into the playoffs. He didn't win a game, but he got there.
I think I'll definitely take the under in terms of making the playoffs at under 2027 because I think you can back your way into it. I mean, the Eagles are about to back their way into it right now. But win a playoff game, that would consist of them being really, really good. And based on what I'm, where this thing is headed, I don't know. Nick Natal 10. Since Mara isn't going to give up control, what can this team do to right the ship? Is it just banking on pure luck at this point? Yes. That's what you're banking on. You're banking on people that have been incredibly bad at their job are no longer bad at their job. A lot of luck, a lot of blind faith. That's what you're rooting for. That's what you're hoping for.
Yep. You have to hope they get lucky.
Oh, that's a good question. Morgan Gal, 4. Can you discuss what position groups are unsuccessful because of good coaching versus athletic talent? An example is the wide receiver position is more talented, has more talent, and the offensive line is more coaching. This is about blame for ineptitude. Is O-line bad because Sale isn't good? Is bad O-production because of wide receiver, running back, quarterback suck? I think the wide receiver group is very overrated. This whole skill position group is very overrated. Offensive line, they don't have talent. I mean, outside of Andrew Thomas, can you name me another offensive lineman that has any future?
No, here? Zero.
So that's that. Bosco underscore 1990. What postseason press conference is going to make you throw up in your mouth more? Is it A, Dave Gettleman, quote unquote, retiring instead of getting fired? Is it B, John Mara telling us how much he believes in Joe Judge? Or C, Joe Judge praising Daniel Jones like he's a Hall of Fame, like his Hall of Fame ticket is punched?
Man, read that one more time for me.
Dave Gettleman retiring instead of getting fired. I don't care for that. They're going to put out a presser and saying he's retiring. Fuck that. John Mara telling us how much he believes in Joe Judge. Or C, Joe Judge praising Daniel Jones like he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, essentially.
Oh, man.
Anything John Mara says is going to make me throw up. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it's probably B. John Mara telling us how much he believes in Joe Judge.
How about this? We'll add a D there and say all of the above.
No, I really think it's B. I think it's B. Dave Gettleman, like, retiring instead of getting fired, like, okay, dude, like, we get it. Like, we know that, like, if he had said, no, I'm not retiring, you would have fired him. C, like, yeah, that would make me nauseous. But, like, what else are you expecting the head coach to say about his quarterback who's going to be on the roster regardless? Like, unless there's some crazy trade. Like, John Mara can fire Joe Judge. But instead, he's going to purposefully stick him with the next general manager. That makes me throw up.
Yeah. Dirty Dan underscore Burner. His name is Ty, by the way. What do you guys think is the most appealing GM job, and where would you rank the Giants on that list if the news is true about having to keep the loser head coach and quarterback? Great question. I don't think there's going to be a lot of GM job openings.
That's what I was curious about. Like, who else is going to be?
I think Chicago. Jacksonville's not opening. The Raiders could potentially open up. I don't know another one. I mean, could Seattle possibly open up? I don't see them going in that direction. I think outside of those two, I can't think of another one right now. So you're looking at the Raiders, the Bears potentially, and the Giants. And I think if you're any
what about
job
the Vikings?
I think it's more Zimmer than Spielman.
Okay.
I think Spielman's a good GM. I don't think he's a bad GM. I think it's going to be, we'll add the Vikings in there too. I think, look, if the Giants, you know, mandate that this is the head coach, this is the quarterback, it's the least appealing job. If they don't, I think it's the most appealing job that could potentially open up.
It should be the most appealing job. I think I don't think the Raiders job is very appealing if that opens up. especially if Derek Carr is like, fuck this, I want out. I honestly do think that he could be a potential quarterback on the move this offseason. That's tough. I don't think that there's too many positions. I mean, each one has a pretty obvious downside, I think. Like, if you were to accept the Bears job, if that job opens up, like, what if you don't like Justin Fields? Like, you could be starting from literally square one at the quarterback position. Like, if you go to the Raiders, like, you might not have a quarterback, or you have a veteran quarterback that, like, you're not a huge fan of. With the Giants, you're going to get stuck with a head coach and a quarterback that stink, even though you could have two top 10 picks, which would make it ideal. Like, Giants could very easily be the most appealing job, yeah, if John Mara would just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's simple as that. It's crazy. Crazy how easy it is when you say it, right? All you got to do is just shut up, and you got the most appealing job, and you're going to have candidates that want to interview.
Pretty much.
That's all the questions. I mean, there's a couple other ones that we sort of covered, but two more weeks, Ethan. We can get through it. See, you're growing out a beard.
I got to shave. Yeah, it's bad. I can't grow a beard. It's like all neck. And then it's like patchy a little bit. Yeah, it's not good. So my wife hates it. She like yells at me every time.
You got the Andrew Luck thing going.
Not even. Like, he has a good neck beard. I don't even have a good neck beard.
Jeez.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't look awful, well, but it's like, you know, whatever.
You think they beat the Bears?
Anything is possible, but no.
I think they're going to lose to the Bears.
I hope they lose big. I think the Bears are like 5-point favorites.
I think they're going to lose to the Bears and the... I'll ask you a question. In terms of draft position, is it better for them to lose to the Bears or beat the Bears? Strictly on draft
position. I think lose because this is what someone told me. I don't know. I can't figure this shit out. I'm like brain dead end of the year. Don't want to do too much critical thinking here, but... I believe what I've been told is that regardless of if the Bears win or lose, it's almost a certainty that their draft position does not change. Whereas if the Giants lose and the Texans pull out a win or the Jets pull out a win, like there is a world in which they can move up a spot or two. So
yeah, there's no way the Bears, if the Bears win, their draft position is staying at 8. There you go. No matter what.
So that on top of the fact that you just want ultimate embarrassment for the Giants.
I really want I just need Houston and the Jets to win one game.
Need Pep Hamilton, the coach of Davis Mills.
If they can win one game and the Giants can get from 5 into like that 4-3 spot.
That would be sweet.
Man, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But I do think the Giants are going to lose out. I think they're going to lose to Chicago. And I think they're going to go back home to Washington. Nobody's going to be there. And they're going to lose there too. And they're going to finish season 4-13. And then God knows what's next. How is owner going to make us more miserable after a 4-13 season?
God. I hope he gets booed.
Booed, I think. I'm interested to see what happens if he promotes Kevin Abrams. I really want to see what happens. No. Like from a national media landscape. Because there's been a lot of like the chatter has picked up.
You gotta DM Max Kellerman and be like, dude, pick it up. Like, we need more national media bashing for John Mara.
I think it's getting picked up more and more.
I don't think it is. People are like, oh, like the Giants are bad, but no one's like, what the fuck is John Mara doing?
I mean,
like, where's Stephen A? Like, you're a New Yorker, bro. Come on.
Like, all these people are like our good friend Dan Duggan, you know, who says, look, I don't think it's going to be Kevin Abrams. You know, Duggan has been right a couple times. Our good friend Jordan Ronan has said he doesn't think it's going to be Kevin Abrams. Peter King has said he doesn't think it's going to be Kevin Abrams. Ian O'Connor has said he doesn't think it's going to be Kevin Abrams. A couple people that cover the league from a, you know, national level, they've told me, they've heard Abrams' name around there, but a lot of it's like league sources saying that, like what the feeling is around the league, and I think it's definitely understandable. But man,
that's
I
the
just,
feeling
I have a
though.
Heart.
That's the problem. Like that's people going on logic. It's not someone saying I have a source that says that they are going to look outside. It's right. basically, I don't know how they could possibly do this.
Right. Look, man, if you're asking me who I look, just prepare for Kevin Abrams. That way you're not disappointed.
Exactly. That is how I am operating.
Yeah. That's it. But I'll ask you this one. If they go outside the organization, how patient would you be with the new GM?
Depends who it is, obviously. It depends on their track record. Give me an example.
All right, let me give you an example. I'll give you three. I'll start with John Dorsey. Veteran guy.
I'd give him...
A lot of it's depending on the process and what process they take.
I'm going under the assumption that this is like blow it up, need a new coach, need a new quarterback. I think they get him 3 years from me. Like it's just so dependent on how much they're blowing it up, right? Like, what if you're one? Like, what if they know that they need a quarterback, but they don't like they can't execute a trade for one. They don't like any of the ones that are in the draft, and like, okay, like there goes year one. Like,
I don't want to sound obvious, but I think if they go outside the organization to like a veteran guy like a Dorsey, I think that that signals they're blowing it up. They're rebuilding their front office, because I don't think Dorsey's going to come here and, oh yeah, I'm going to work with Kevin Abrams, I'm going to work with Chris Pettit. No, I think it's going to be, I'm coming here, I'm going to bring a couple of my guys with me. Alonzo Highsmith, who's with him in Green Bay. Elliot Wolf, who has ties to Green Bay. I think that's the type of thing he'll take, and I think he'll rebuild the front office. What about if it's Louis Riddick?
I don't know, man. I'll give anyone not named Kevin Abrams their fair shake.
3 years. Thank you. That's what I think. If they go outside the organization, I'll be 3 years patient. Unless they do something egregious.
Like draft a running back.
A running back. Exactly. All right. Wrap it up.
Okay. Thanks for listening, I guess. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYGDaily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Keep an eye out for Twitter Spaces, Boiling Point, hosted by us two, Justin, Snacks, Will. And let's see, man. This Twitter's been a fucking crazy place, Wild West, the last few years.
It's just getting started, last few days.
Let's see what else comes out.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Talk to everyone soon.
Peace.